This was not going to be Egypt. This is not going to be Tunisia. This was much a darker incarnation of that.
The voice there of reporter Anthony Shadid speaking about Libya. Here are some of his words in print. Some suffering cannot be covered in words, Shadid writes in his forthcoming book, House of Stone. This had become my daily fare as reporter in the Middle East, documenting war, its survivors and fatalities, and the many who seem a little of both. This morning, we are heartbroken to report that Anthony Shadid of our partner, The New York Times, is no longer one of the survivors. The veteran Middle East correspondent for The Times, The Washington Post and Boston Globe, and longtime voice on this program, has died. A fatal asthma attack while he was reporting in chaotic Syria, working undercover, of course. His body carried across the Syrian border and home by a New York Times colleague yesterday. So what shall we do now?
Well, I think we're seeing a really confusing, chaotic aftermath in Damascus. This, as you said, is the second bombing in 2 weeks. It seems to add a new wrinkle to an insurgency that's growing more complicated and perhaps more violent as the months pass. And the bombings in Damascus, I think, are a very vivid illustration of that.
That's Tony Shadid's last dispatch for this program on a bombing in Damascus barely a week ago. Shadid has been a chronicler of the woes and joys of the Middle East for decades. The two-time Pulitzer Prize winner was one of the indispensable voices covering the 2003 invasion of Iraq.
We don't call it a war. We can call it a sense of instability, of unease, of anxiety, and violence still very much colors Iraqis' lives.
His book on Iraq was called Night Draws Near, Iraq's People in the Shadow of America's War. The perfect assignment for Shadid, who was always seeking the human dimension of every conflict he covered. His up-to-the-minute analysis was always the most reliable, but it was his human eye that captured so much more than cameras. Here he is talking about the Arab Spring with Terry Gross on the program Fresh Air.
When I look back at this year, I think there were two moments that were so inspiring and so remarkable to me. Especially, again, and I hate to keep saying this, but coming out of just the carnage and the disappointment and the record of Iraq. I mean, Iraq, a society that in some ways has been torn apart at least for a generation. But what I got to see in Tahrir Square in Cairo in January and February, this idea of a new notion of community coming together, a community defining itself on its own terms.
Anthony Shadid took lots of risks. He was captured while covering the violent uprising in Libya last year.
It was just a matter of, I wouldn't say it was much more than 10 miles or so, but it ended up taking us 5 or 6 hours to try to navigate that path. And, you know, I've done things that I probably wouldn't have done in hindsight, and this might be one of them. It turned out to be much scarier than I thought it would.
But as an asthmatic in a stressful conflict zone, something few outside his closest friends knew much about, Anthony Shadid was always taking a risk, always stepping into danger on some level, a fact he would no doubt dismiss as trivial this morning. It was the people of the places he covered, Lebanon, Iraq, Libya, and Syria. It was their danger, it was their vulnerability that mattered. And you could hear, it always mattered most to him.
What is the end game? Where does this? What is the light at the end of the tunnel here? It's clear that since August, during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, the government has dedicated itself almost exclusively to what is kind of somewhat euphemistically known as the military or security solution, and that is basically crackdown. That you crack down on the uprising through violence in hopes of crushing it. It has not proven successful, but there does not seem to be much of an alternative out there. There's promises of some political reform, though this is kind of down the road. There's promises of new constitution, but the kind of sweeping or decisive reform that it might take to, I don't want to say turn the uprising, but at least to dissipate the uprising, just isn't in the cards right now.
Anthony Shadid leaves a family behind in Lebanon, as well as all of the rest of us. As much as he traveled, as much as he chronicled misery and terror, the Middle East, Lebanon, was this American's home.
Yeah, I guess home is probably where you want to be. And you know, for me, it has to be that the family's ancestral home in southern Lebanon. It's in a very remote corner of the country. It's not all that easy to get to. But, you know, I think, and my wife and I think feel the same way, that once we're there, you know, we feel tethered. You know, we feel tethered to it. I'm not sure how else to describe it. But, you know, there's a certain peacefulness, I think, that I feel at least when I get back to that home in Marjayoun.
He is there now. In his own words, some suffering cannot be covered in words. Our condolences and thanks to Anthony Shadid from his takeaway family this morning, to someone who added so much to our understanding and humanity. Joining us now is Borzu Daragahi, Middle East and North Africa correspondent for the Financial Times. He joins us from Benghazi, Libya, on the kind of phone line we often spoke with Anthony Shadid on, a difficult phone line from a conflict zone. Borzu Daragahi, give us a story, a sense of remembrance of your colleague and your friend.
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned the sorrow and despair that Anthony covered so well and chronicled so eloquently. But I think that also his work was infused with a real sense of love for the region and a lot of what he chronicled had to do with the sort of the joys and pleasures greatness and vitality of the Middle East, not just its woes and miseries. And I think that's what made his work so special. What made him so special is that he really loved the region. He really was passionate about the region, not just the conflict and the war and the terror and so on, but also the literature, the poetry, the art, the culture, the language. And he will be sorely missed in that regard as a friend and a colleague.
And the people he touched in his stories were deeply moved by him and are responding today, even the Prime Minister of Lebanon.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He talked to a lot of high-level figures. He spoke to, it wasn't just about interviewing people who were, soldiers and...
Borzu Daragahi there. As often happened when we spoke with Anthony Shadid, cutting out on a line from Benghazi, Libya, as he continues his work covering the conflict zones and what we describe as the Arab Spring in the Middle East. Goodbye to Anthony Shadid, who is our colleague and our companion through much of that coverage over the last year and before. He will be sorely missed. 43-year-old Anthony Shadid, reporter for our partner, The New York Times, died yesterday in Syria.
The events that are taking place are so overwhelming. They feel so historic and so important that you feel a real challenge to get it right. You feel a real challenge to do justice, I think, to what is happening around you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.